Welcome to our Sunday School Hour. I invite you to stand. Let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 66 at Calvary. Standing as we sing hymn number 66. And thank you. You may be seated unless you celebrate a birthday or an anniversary this past week. I recognize you at this time.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house today and to have each one of you with us. A few things from the bulletin this morning. Today is a double day, okay? So we're taking our Christmas missions offering today. And if you've been here very long, you know that on the first Sunday of December, we take an offering to be a blessing to our missionaries. These missionaries are ones that are sent from our church that we love and care for personally. And so we'll be receiving that offering today. So we use the offering box in the back for offerings. We just never got back to handing the plate around. And then on the track rack, there are offering envelopes like this. And so if you want to give to the Christmas Missions offering, you would just write Christmas Missions on the envelope, put your money in, put your name on it, and you can get credited that way. And then today is Brown Bag Sunday. And so we'll have a regular morning service, then we'll break for lunch, and then we'll have the evening service will be an early afternoon service at 1:30. And so I encourage you to come back and be a part of that. It'll be a good time. And then the next thing, excuse me, battling a little bit of congestion, is it's time for church officers and nominations. And so on the back table, we have this nomination card, and it tells for deacons, those that are remaining in office, those that are leaving office, trustees the same way, treasurer, and church clerk. And so what we would like for you to do, if you're going to, you want to take part in this, is that first of all, that you would ask the person before you put your name, put their name down, okay? Excuse me. So, let's say Brother Foster's going to be leaving as a deacon. Brother Foster, would you serve as a deacon again? All right. See how I did that? And so then I can put his name down. I'm going to do that. So, Steve Foster. You know what? That saves me from contacting 20 different people who go, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to do that. If you ask them, then you save me all that footwork. Isn't that amazing? So I put down Steve Foster. I'm done asking people down here. I sign it. Okay? That way, if there's any questions, then we can contact you about how that was done. And then you just submit it. Put it in the offering plate. Give it to one of the ushers. Our offering plate. We don't use offering plates. I just covered that. Put it in the offering box. And we'll take these up for the next couple of weeks. And so I'd encourage you, if you can, and you have someone. By the way, we do ask in our bylaws that the people be a member for a year. And as far as deacons and trustees, we like to work people up to deacons. So we like for them to come in as trustee first, unless they've already served in another church. We like to do that, and so that's kind of how the nominations work. Youth Christmas party on December 9th, Christmas cantata the 11th and 12th, so next Saturday evening, and then again on Sunday night we'll have Christmas cantata. It's going to be great. Encourage you to plan to be here for that. Ladies Christmas party is at our house on December 16th, and it's like worth coming just to be in my neighborhood. It's amazing this year. The lights everywhere. It's just really cool. And so we'd encourage you to come to the house December 16th. You're going to have a great time. Bring your favorite snack, $10 gift to match the age group. The young ladies are invited to come with you, so you can bring your daughters. And just the ladies always have a great time. Matter of fact, in my kitchen hangs this little plaque that comes out every year at Christmas time, and it says, what happens at the ladies' Christmas party stays at the ladies' Christmas party, okay? So I don't know what kind of behavior goes on there. I've already got plans that night. I'm going to even be out of town. So you go have a great time. That'll be awesome. We're going to, on December the 19th, have a Gilson Christmas. And I want to be a blessing to the Gilson family. Mom and Dad ended up. Grandma and Grandpa actually ended up raising their grandchildren after a horrific incident where their son lost his life, was taken from him. And so we want to be a blessing to the Gilsons. And so rather than trying to match up sizes and hope that everybody gets enough gifts, with the Gilsons, it's just a lot easier if we would give them gift cards to like Walmart. Really, and not something to go out to eat so much, but practical, okay? We're thinking of very practical type Christmas. So if you can grab a $50 or $1,000 gift card to Walmart and, bring it, you can put an envelope, just put Gilson's on it, put it in the offering box back there. We'll see that they get it on the 19th. We'll make a formal presentation of those things. We just want to be a blessing to them. I tell you, I hope you pray for them on a regular basis. It's just they're going to have a trial that's coming up in January. It's another horrific event. It was sad to see the trial that we went through in October. It just really took it out of me to set through that. And so there'll be a trial starting January. Please pray for this dear family as they raise their grandchildren. I don't know how, but by God's grace, amen. And I pray that no one else ever has to do that, but they have received this of the Lord, and they're willing to do it, so we want to pray and encourage them as much as we can. Then on the back table is a cleaning sign-up sheet. If you come to church and go, wow, this church's always pretty clean. I wonder how they do that. It's because people volunteer to do that. And so if you want to sign up, we like to do it like two couples together, so you don't necessarily have to both be here. A lot of times, whoever we end up with, we're not necessarily here at the same time, so, we'll say we'll do this, this, and this, and the other person does that, that, and that, and it gets clean. And so that's how we do that. Saves church a lot of money and gives you opportunity to be a part of ministering, and so that's available to be signed up for also. All right, well, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. Remember to pray for these on the side here on our prayer list. I want to continue to pray for each one that's listed here. And we've been praying for a number of months for Miss Pam. It's good to have her home. Flight was a little late the other night, and I think it was about 1 o'clock before Cindy and I finally got home. But it's good to have her here, and just such a blessing to have her home. And you'll be praying for her over the next few months. She's got a lot of decisions to make, and we just want to pray and help encourage her as she goes through that time. And then with her are two Filipinos, Mrs. Santos and her daughter. And they're from the church there at Mountain View, and just love and appreciate all that they do for the pastor's wife. They didn't want her traveling alone, so they came along, and they'll be here for a couple of days. I think they're headed to California. Tomorrow. Now we need to really pray for them, huh? Going to California. If I was you, I'd stay in Kansas. But anyhow, pray for them as they travel. It's good to have them, good to see them again. I'm glad you get to taste our church. I've been there and preached several times for them, and it's good to have them with us today. Thank you for coming and being here. All right, I think we're ready. And most of you know this weekend was kind of a mess in Cindy and my life. We went to Branson for a wedding, and she's playing. I was just kind of driving Miss Daisy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so we get to our hotel that was provided for us. We go in a nice place, indoor, you know, rooms. And so, well, it's nice to be indoor. But the room, the doors were all inside, not exterior doors. And so we went and put our stuff in the room, relaxed for about 30 minutes, left the room, went to rehearsal, went out to eat, get back, you know, 9 o'clock or so. And I'm thinking, well, I need to get my CPAP out and get it all hooked up. And I'm like, where's my CPAP? I thought I left it right there. And so went down to the car. It wasn't in the car. Went back, and I'm like, my book bags are missing. And so I got a laptop, iPad. And so I'm like, how am I going to preach? You know, I got it on my phone, little bitty phone. So got an iPad yesterday. But, you know, just the hassle of all your bank accounts. Yeah, and my password book was in there. If they have half a brain, they could really have done a lot of damage. But I think I got that all taken care of. So anyhow, if things are a little jilted as I preach today, it's I'm getting used to a new iPad and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for your prayers. The worst part was, you know, all that we learned early on, all that is just stuff, right? I never will forget, we were, I don't know, probably 40 years ago, we were living in Topeka. And we went on vacation, and someone called me and said, hey, someone broke in your house last night. And they went through, you know, back then the big deal was VCRs and TVs and all that kind of stuff. And Miss Metzinger was with child, and so her rings didn't fit. They stole her rings. They stole my shotgun, all that kind of stuff. What they really missed, though, was if they'd gone in the garage, I got this massive toolbox, I'm talking real tools, snap-ons and all those, and so they could have just cleaned it out. I'd left it all open when I left and stuff, but it would just realize it's stuff, right? It's just the hassle of getting it back. But I had a Bible that I traveled to the Philippines and Papua New Guinea, and that thing had been around the world I don't know how many times, and then I lost my Bible, my travel Bible. And so pray that I'd get it back. I don't care how God does it. I'd just like to have it back. I'm a sentimental type person, you know. Those things are valuable to me. I'd just like to have it back. But if not, God might be saying, hey, you need to clean up some of this stuff in your life, right? So anyhow, good to be in the Lord's house. Going to have Brother Foster come. Please sing another song, then we'll get to our Sunday school time. Lord bless you.
Take your hymn books once again, hymn number 105, All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus. We'll sing the first and the last verses, hymn number 105. this year's Sunday school classes.
All right, my class, we've made it to the final lesson, lesson number 10 on this series, Freedom from Bondage. This is a pivotal lesson in that we get to summarize everything that we've been learning thus far in the life of the children of Israel as they were brought out of bondage of the land of Egypt and under the slavery and all that was taking place there. And we understand from our lessons that Moses led them out of this bondage, out of Egypt. God provided the deliverance. Now we see a very important aspect of this freedom from bondage that we need to understand, that we need to grasp, that we need to adhere to in our Christian walk and in our Christian lives, that we would understand what God's true freedom from bondage means for us. And I'd invite you, if you would, to turn to Exodus chapter 33. While you're doing that, if you need a handout, we have those. Brother Potts has those in the back. If you'd raise your hand, he'll get you one. Exodus chapter number 33. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, we understood the crossing of the Red Sea and the challenges that were there and the fear that that the people felt as they saw the waters in front of them and the enclosing Egyptian army behind them. Feeling there was no way out, they thought it would be better to go back to Egypt and live in bondage rather than face what was in front of them. And God had something better in store for them. And I believe God has something better in store for us as well if we would just keep our eyes on Him and understand that He has a plan and He has a direction for our lives and a course for us to follow, and we just need to trust Him. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, Thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and Thou hast not let me know whom Thou wilt send with me. Yet Thou hast said, I know Thee by name. And Thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray Thee, if I have found grace in Thy sight, show me now Thy way, that I may know Thee, that I may find grace in Thy sight, and consider that this nation is Thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with Thee, and I will give Thee rest. And he said unto him, If Thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known, Hear that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. What a precious promise to know that God knows our name. And God has, a direction, a plan for our life. And He's providing encouragement here for Moses as he endeavors now to bring the children of Israel to the promised land. So not long after the crossing of the Red Sea, the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai. Moses went up into the mountain, and we know what took place there, the giving of the Ten Commandments. The two stone tablets were written by God's own hand, and God gave Moses these Ten Commandments. And while Moses was up in the mount, the Israelites decided to make a golden calf. We know the story well. We know that, again, they're going back to their old way of life, their old lifestyle, their old habits. And we can read the story in Exodus chapter 32. The Israelites had a worship service where they disrobed, played music that dishonored God, and danced around a golden calf they made, worshiping it. Now, we may not go to the extent of exactly what they've said here and what they did, but there are things that we can do in our life that causes our attention to be turned from God, and that we would worship things of this world rather than worshiping the Creator God Himself. So God saw this unholy worship and told Moses to return to the people. They had corrupted themselves and turned away from God as Moses and Joshua made this journey back to the mountain. Back down from the mountain, they heard the sensual singing and saw the calf and the people's nakedness. Can you imagine the sight here? I don't want you to imagine it too much, but imagine what's going on here. As Moses is meeting with God, and he's understanding the holiness of God, and he's reverencing God, and he understands these Ten Commandments that he's given to him, and then he's going back down the mountain, and he sees what's taking place. And I can imagine God in heaven today looking down upon His creation and all that's going on in this world. And even amongst those that would name the name of Jesus Christ, what they allow themselves to participate in, what they allow into their life that is unholy, that is unrighteous. And what a shame it is to our God and our Creator. And what a shame it was for the children of Israel to be going back to this type of behavior. Moses' heart was broken that the people had turned away from the worship of God and they had substituted it for the worship of a golden calf. How full of nonsense this is to think of the Creator God and what they had just experienced, the miracle that He provided for them and the deliverance from this bondage, the deliverance, crossing of the Red Sea and how He provided there. And now they're going to go back to an object that can do nothing for them. It makes absolutely no sense. So He threw down the stone tablets He held in His hands to the ground. And the golden calf was also broken to powder. Moses then went back up to the mountain to ask God to forgive the sin of the people. It is at this point that Exodus 33 begins, where we read this morning. In the early verses of the chapter, God tells Moses that He will send an angel to go before the Israelites into the promised land, but He will not go with them Himself. And this is where we need to understand the point of our lesson today. And we need to realize it in our lives that God's presence is everything. God's presence in our life is everything. And we need to understand that, and we need to realize it, and we need to live according to it. Without God's presence, we are nothing. God's presence is absolutely everything in our life. Exodus 33, beginning in verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, but thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." God no longer wanted to be in the presence of them. He was going to send an angel to lead them and to conquer these battles for them and to bring them into the promised land. To Moses, this was unthinkable. He knew the value of God's presence in his life. And it was God who had brought the plagues upon Egypt. It was God who had parted the Red Sea. It was God who had written the commandments on the tables of stone. It was God who had done every marvelous and miraculous work for them. And now God told them He wouldn't go into the promised land with them. Their sin was keeping them from the presence of God. When the people heard these tidings, in verse number 4, they mourned. It says, "And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments." Since God had said He wasn't going to go with them, they weren't going to go either. Moses went into the mountain to talk with God again, in verse number 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." We learn in verse 20 that Moses didn't actually see God's face, but he heard from God, as if in a face-to-face conversation. God spoke freely and directly to Moses, not through an angel, visions, or dreams, as He did to the prophets. In Numbers 12, and verse 6 through 8, and He said, "Hear now My words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make Myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all Mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold." So throughout this chapter in Exodus, Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. He's pleading with God, and he's asking God to once again grant forgiveness. So he's asking God to go with him. He wanted God's presence. He desired it strongly in his life. And he understood the value of God's presence. And he understood the absolute need for God's presence upon him. So he wanted God's presence to lead them and to guide them along the way into the promised land. Moses didn't want to go one more step on the journey without God's presence in his life. For without God's presence, there would be no blessing. So think about it today. How valuable is God's presence to you in your life? Do you prioritize God's presence, or do you simply want God's deliverance and provision? I think that's a place where a lot of us would, if we're honest, we enjoy God's deliverance. We enjoy God's provision. But do we absolutely desire and prioritize His presence in our life? That's what God desires with us. He wants us to be close to Him. It's why we were created, to bring glory to Him, that we might have fellowship with Him. He wants to be present in our lives, and He wants us to prioritize it in our daily walk. Too often we want God's gifts more than we want God Himself. From God's response to Moses' prayer, however, we learn three reasons why we do desperately need God's presence. First of all, without His presence, there is no rest. In verses 13 and 14 of our text, we read this, "Now therefore I pray thee, I have found grace in thy sight. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people." And He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." How many of us like rest today? I know there are some in my household that certainly do like rest. I like rest myself. We all need rest. Imagine now in Moses' life and what God has asked him to do. We might analyze it this way, and that this would be Moses' job description: to lead millions of people through the wilderness and ultimately to battle. Stand before the most powerful leader in the world and tell him he must let your people go. And if he doesn't, God is going to bring down all kinds of pestilence and frogs and lice and locusts and blood. After that, lead them across the Red Sea. But first, you have to stand there until the enemy's hot on your tail, and then right at the last minute, the sea will part. Finally, lead a couple million rebellious, stiff-necked people through the wilderness to the promised land. So the question is, if that were your job today, would you think you needed some rest? I think so. Most of us wouldn't sign up for that job. If that was in the job description, we certainly wouldn't want it. But this was the task before Moses, and Moses accepted the task. And he knew this, that in order to fulfill these things, in order to accomplish them, he needed God's presence. He knew the value of God's presence in his life. God promised Moses that right in the middle of one of the least restful jobs we can imagine, that he would give Moses rest. He offers the same promise to us today. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a lot of things that we can become burdened with in this life that can encumber us and that can weigh us down. But we need to understand that we need to turn to God, and He will give us rest. Not only do we have physical rest, but He says, "Rest unto your souls." That means we're at peace with God, that we can rest assured that God has everything under control, that we don't need to worry or concern ourselves over what's happening. God is in control. Hundreds of years later, God offered this rest again to the nation of Israel. They had turned aside from following Him again, and He reminded them of the old paths, the way they used to walk when they knew Him. And He told them that these paths would provide rest for their souls. So which path is going to provide rest? The path that follows God. The path that follows His Word. The path that applies His principles and His truths into their daily walk. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." We see over and over again the Israelites abandoned God's Word, and they followed their own path. On that path, away from God, there is no rest. Why is there so much trouble and unrest in the world today? It's because many are not following the Lord. They're not following God's way. They're not following His plan. And the only place that we can find this rest is to follow God and His way. What does the Bible tell us? That His way is perfect. His way is blessed. His way is the way of rest. Many sermons have been preached from Jeremiah 6:16 about staying on the old paths. But these messages sometimes focus so much on the old paths that they leave out the blessings of the old paths. You shall find rest for your souls if you walk on the old paths that Jesus puts before us, that path of prayer, the path of fellowship, of repentance, of Bible preaching, of Christ-honoring music, faithful church attendance, these things that bless the soul, these things that uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that God would have us to be participants of. This is the path of seeking God. And in that path, we are promised rest. It's when we stray from that path, going down a path of lying, deceit, whatever it might be, whatever sinful desire that we would have, even watching the wrong things on the television, allowing things to come into our ear gate or to our eye gate that should not be there. Sin of any kind that we don't, and when we allow those things in our life, we do not have rest for our souls. But in the middle of Moses' gigantic undertaking of leading the Israelites through the wilderness, God promised rest for his soul. Again, we read the job description, and that's a big task. Much to be done, but yet God promises to provide rest. So no matter how great our trial, no matter what we are going through, if our heart is right with God, he will give us rest right in the middle of the difficulty. So God promises rest. So what is our pattern for rest? God placed strong priority in the Word of God on rest, incorporating it into the very creation of the world. Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So God pointed the Israelites to back to that creation, and that was to be the example to them in the fourth commandment. In Exodus 20 and verses 8 through 11 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God gave the Sabbath to show the importance of this faith that we are to have in God. The Israelites were to work to accomplish all that they needed, and then they had to choose to rest on the seventh day, laying our time out before God. So the rest in this way would be an expression of their faith in God, trusting Him to provide on that seventh day, trusting Him to give what was needed for food and for raiment, for all these things. Although we are no longer under that Mosaic law, some would seek to still practice it. We're not under the Mosaic law. We're not under the Sabbath day order. But we also need physical rest. And often in our society, they're forgetting that. They're doing so many things 7 days a week now. But our bodies and emotions need rest. And we have to choose it. Laying our time out before God and asking Him to show us His order for our time is a good way to start. Remember, I said earlier in the lesson that God seeks to direct our paths. He seeks to direct your life. And how are you going to know how He wants to direct it unless you take time to rest and seek His direction and His leadership? So God wants us to have rest physically and spiritually. Next, we see our person of rest. If we have learned one thing from the story of God bringing His people out of Egypt, it's that we need God. We certainly need God in our lives. God prioritized rest in the Ten Commandments early on. But it wasn't just any rest. It was stepping back from their duties and ignoring providing for their family's physical needs. It was a day of faith, set aside to remember that they belong to God. The principles we find in holding the Sabbath day are very good for us as well, in that we need to remember whose we are, who we belong to. And what God is seeking to do and what He has done for us today of renewing and reinvigorating ourselves for the battle that lies ahead. The rest that God wove into His creation of us is not rest that we find by grabbing time away from church here and stepping back from sharing the gospel there. We don't find it by neglecting our family. We find our rest by going to Jesus. What did we see there in Matthew 11:28? We see the invitation that Jesus is making, and He's pleading. He says, "Come unto Me. Come to Me. Find your rest in Me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We absolutely need to set aside regular blocks of time and to rest. For instance, we need to sleep each night and a weekly day off of work. And we sometimes need longer seasons of rest. Can we get an amen there? Maybe a time of vacation where we need to renew, where we need to find and seek the Lord once again. True rest, the kind we need whether we are physically working or physically resting, comes through faith in Jesus. We experience it first at salvation when we cease from our own works and rest in Jesus. Hebrews 4:9-10. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his." It brings great peace to us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, knowing that we don't have to earn our way or work our way to heaven. Knowing that our salvation is eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work that He did on Calvary's cross. That brings great rest to our souls, does it not? Brings great peace, great contentment, and we can find rest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the path to rest. We see from the Israelites' response to God's suggestion that His presence would not go with them, that without God's presence they would be fearful, anxious, and without rest. You don't have to raise your hand, but are any of you contending with fear, anxiety, and you're without rest? Might I entreat you today to seek Jesus? You're not going to find rest in this world. You're not going to find rest in the politicians or the governments. You're only going to find rest in Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with these things today, draw close to God. Draw close to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek His presence because it is a necessity for rest. While He is always with us and promised to never leave us, we experience the knowledge of His presence when we go to Him through His Word. It's there we find His strength, not our strength, but we find His strength. Psalm 119:28, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." We experience His presence when we pray. Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." In our text in Exodus 33:13, Moses prayed to God, asking for His help in leading the children of Israel. Moses, we know that he was insecure about this leadership that God had placed upon his life. We know that from early on in the account of Exodus. So he knew that he needed God in his life. He needed God's presence in order to lead in the right way. Moses knew that this task was too big for him. So he asked God for His leadership and His direction. Verse 13, it says there again, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." We need to cry out in the same way today. We need God. We need God's leadership. We need His leadership in leading our family. It's too hard a task for us on our own. We need God. Every parent should say, "Lord, I can't do this without Your presence." And it's the same way with every task that is set before us. God, I need You. I need You to do this through me and for me. Would You show me the way to go? I need Your direction. We need God's direction every day of our life. Proverbs 3:5-6. We know it very well, but how often do we apply it? Trust in the Lord. How are we to trust in the Lord? With all thine heart. and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what does God say He will do? He shall direct thy paths. So we have some things that we must do. If we want God's direction in our life, we must give Him all of our heart. We must serve Him. We must trust Him. We must follow Him with all of our hearts, not allowing our own understanding to get in the way. We have ideas. We have thoughts. We have opinions. But they don't matter when it comes to God. God's plan is perfect. God's way is right for us. And we need to humbly submit ourselves to His plan, His direction. And when we do those things, when we acknowledge God, what does He say? He'll direct our paths. Do we want God's direction today? I think we need God's direction to navigate this world, do we not? We need God's help, and we need His presence in our life. And it's on His path alone that we find rest. So we need God's rest. The next area I'm very excited about, we won't get to it today, but I'll give you a sneak peek. Without His presence, there is no grace. Boy, we need God's grace. We absolutely need it. And I hope this is, as we bring these series of lessons to a close, this is the point that we must understand. God will provide freedom from the bondage that we are in. But that freedom is that we might experience His presence in our life, that we might dwell with Him, that we might fellowship with Him, that we might have that close relationship that He desires so much to have with us. How much do we desire to have it with Him? Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for Your goodness to us, that You desire a relationship with us. And that desire has been made evident through the offering that You made through Jesus Christ, Your Son, and His death, burial, and resurrection, that through Him we might have salvation and eternal life and a relationship with You. Father, we're thankful for Your goodness to us. Father, we know we're not worthy, but we're thankful for what You've done and what You've offered and what You've provided. And may we just give back now in humility a trust and a service to You, that we would give of our lives sacrificially unto You, that we'd be willing to allow You to lead our paths, to guide us in the direction that we would go. And Father, that we would so strongly desire Your presence in our lives. And I pray that You'd help us now as we conclude this lesson series. Drive home in our hearts what You would seek to teach us, what You would have us to know and to understand and then to ultimately live by. I pray that You would just guide and direct in our lives. Be with the service to follow. Speak again to our hearts, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you have about 15 minutes, and we'll meet right back in here for the worship hour.